but all the snow is supposed to be up here, and it's showing up in other places. So on your bulletins, it might say the angels. I'm not preaching about angels today. I'm preaching about the song of the angels. And our scripture reading was out of Luke 2, 8 through 20. But I wanted to back up a little bit further than that and go the way back to the beginning. And John kind of brought it up a little bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing that was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, 1 through 5 and 14. The most important section of that today is going to be the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We call this Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. The actual word is tabernacled. The Lord came down and He tabernacled with us. He lived with us. So this morning I'd like to celebrate that and at least open us up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for all the people that are here that made the journey to the church today to worship You, but most of all Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and sacrificed so much to come to this world to live a human life and to die a horrible death so that we could be adopted into Your family. So, Lord, we give You all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. 2,000 years ago, when God, the Son, left heaven and invaded our planet, He did not come to this earth as a mighty warrior leading an angelic army. Now, understand, if God, the Son, wanted to come that way, He would have. He had all the right to. It's like when Jesus sat before Pilate and He says, I could call down 12 legions of angels if I wanted to, but that's not why I came. He could have come that way. I mean, after all, Jesus is, as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 9:6, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, and the wonderful Counselor, and the one whose shoulders rest upon all nations and all governments. That's a lot of weight to have on your shoulders, isn't it? And he is, as Paul declared in Colossians 1, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth. Visible things, invisible things, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. Now think about that just for a second. In Him all things are held together. Not just the molecules of your body, but this church body is held together by the will of God. This planet that's spinning like 68,000 miles per hour around the sun does not fly off its axis because what? Because Jesus isn't, God is in control. That was Colossians 1:15 and 17. And yet God the Son chose to enter this world in the humblest of ways as a newborn baby boy. And I'm sure 2,000 years on the other side of that birth, we have kind of gotten used to the idea of Jesus coming and being born. But I had to ask myself when I tried to put myself in Mary's shoes, are you kidding me? I mean, He had the choice to come down as the son of a prince or a king or some other lofty position, but He chose to come down and to be born to a carpenter and His betrothed wife, Mary. I mean, seriously, think about it. And all the fullness of the Godhead wrapped up in a tiny human body, covered in strips of cloth, laying in a feeding trough. Now you're thinking, man, we could have done a little bit better than that. At least we could have got Him a hotel room or something. But everything happened for a reason, to show that there was no room at the inn. Just like the Jewish people of that day, there was no room for Jesus in their hearts. God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the always-existing maker and sustainer of heaven and earth, completely dependent upon his mom. We love moms, don't we? Moms are great. Moms have always been great. But it was up to his mom and his dad to take care of him. Can you even imagine what it must have been like to be Joseph and Mary, to know that they were holding, feeding, burping, and changing the diapers of God? I mean, you may snicker and you may laugh, but it's the truth. He was completely dependent on Mary and Joseph for everything he had, his food, his warmth, everything. I try putting myself into their sandals, if you would, for a little while. Being earthly parents of God had to be kind of crazy. With a capital C, I mean, what was it like to watch Jesus pray? I tried to put myself in Mary and Joseph's shoes. What was it like to watch Jesus pray as a boy? Did they feel awkward teaching him about how he created the world? I mean, when he saw a rainbow, did he automatically think of a flood? When he saw the lamb being led to the slaughter, did he act differently? Did they ever count the stars with him and succeed? How did he act when he went to a funeral? Did they ever accidentally call him Lord? Did they ever occur to him that the God that they were praying to was sleeping underneath their own roof? Did he ever lead the family devotion times? That would have been kind of cool. Who was his best friend? Did he have any friends? I mean, a bestie? Did they ever say to him, Jesus, shut the door. Do you think you were born in a barn? See, some of you guys are all right. Just when I think I'm losing you. All right. For a period of time, ever so brief, the doors of the throne room of heaven were open, thrown open, and God invaded our planet. He moved into our neighborhood. His majesty was seen. Heaven touched the earth. And as a result, the earth can now both be known and touch heaven. And listen, when that tiny baby entered the world on that very holy night in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, an army of angels lit up the sky, singing a song that made it into God's Christmas playlist. We've talked about two songs already. Mary's song, Zechariah's song, and now we're going to talk about the angel song. And who was their audience on the most holy of nights? Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't the high and the mighty, the people that could afford the tickets. It was the low of the low. They weren't even allowed into church. They were considered unholy. Yet they raised all the lambs that were slaughtered on Passover. It was their job to prepare the sacrifice for the temple. But guess what? God chose to reveal himself to the humble shepherds that were keeping their flocks by night. You know, maybe the reality of Christmas and Jesus coming to earth is meant to do something to our fear level. Like, crank it way down. Understand, ultimately, we have nothing to fear because God sees us and God cares. And God wouldn't have sent his son down here to die for us if he didn't care for us and love us. God is sovereign, God can hear, and God is near. Amen? Again, Gabriel tells them when they show up, you got to imagine they're probably sitting around a fire like most guys are, poking a fire with a stick, probably telling some jokes or something like that, or the newest story they heard. Hey, you hear what Pilate did the other day? And all of a sudden the sky lights up and there's an angel. And of course, when the sky opens up and there's an angel there, every time in the Bible it says, and they were afraid, or very afraid. Some of them fell down and as if dead. Every time you see someone mention an angel in the Bible, people were scared. But here we not only have an angel, but we have a heavenly host of angels. You look up the word host in your Bible in the back, in the dictionary and Bible commentary in the back, it'll say army. Host and army are used interchangeably. So here we have an angel with an army of angels behind them singing. Can you imagine nobody singing out of tune? Everybody had a perfect voice. And they had a front row seat sitting on top of that hill. I mean, it's really okay because I bring you good news. And they're probably thinking, what good news are you bringing? Because angels traditionally usually didn't bring good news. It was usually bad news. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, two angels showed up there. Look what happened. So I bring you good news that will bring you great joy to all the people. Not some, to all people. Three sections we're going to talk about. Do you like sharing good news? It's good to share good news. You find out and you want to share that news with somebody. Spread the joy around. You want to be able to go up and say, hey, guess what? I found out my daughter's going to have a baby. You know, whatever. Or she said yes. Or we've got a promotion coming. Your Christmas bonus is twice what it was last year. We got an offer on the house. I got a part in the play. And they're returning early from deployment. That was always my favorite. And do you know, and do you ever get excited this time of year about something maybe you've been wanting all year long? Some kind of Christmas gift? Because you know that it's not only something that they want, but something that they really need. They have no clue that it's coming, but you're going to give them that gift and you're going to see that smile on their face, and that makes all the difference in the world. If you're parents and you've got kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not so much. It's the sound of the tearing paper. It's the sound of the looks on their faces and their screams of, yes! Mom, did you buy batteries? Because that's usually the second. Parents, don't forget the batteries, all right? Nothing worse than a cranky kid on Christmas because they didn't get any batteries. Do you ever get excited this time of year about someone opening a gift because they know that it's not only something they want, but something they need, you know? I like the socks, the jeans, all that other stuff, but so what was this good news that this angel Gabriel so fired up and excited about going public with for the first time? Now understand, up until this day, only four people have any clue as to what is going on, right? We've got Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph. Those are only four humans that know what's going on so far. So here's the good news. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Born to who? To you. What do you mean? Are you pointing at me? Are you talking to me? Born not just to Joseph and Mary, but to me and to you and to every other human being on this planet. God sent his son down here to us. Now it's 2,000 years past then, and we're looking backwards. But born to all people. Not just of that time, but of this time. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. Or you could actually say, a Savior is born for you. And listen, when you are in need of rescue, when you are at your lowest, when things are going really bad, when you really need deliverance, God's going to be there for you. Salvation, a Savior. Being saved is just what you and I need. It's just what we've always needed. It's just what the whole world out there is looking for, but they haven't found yet. A Savior. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Luke 2, 11 and 12. And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, same word for army, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to them to whom his favor rests. I like the fact that the angel appeared to the shepherds, the lowest of the low. And I like the fact that Jesus, the first person that he revealed the fact that he was the Messiah, was to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus didn't go to the top and reveal who he was. He started at the bottom, the common people. He drank and ate with normal people just like you and me. They appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace." Peace. Do we need peace on the earth today? We sure do. We sure do. I mean, it's like all the angels in heaven are saying, "Okay, you have had all the fun up until now, but bro, it's time for us to join the party. Let's sing." Can you imagine countless angels, super bright light, Gabriel with a couple of sticks in his hand leading the band, and they're singing. And they're singing, "Glory to God in the highest." They're praising God. And that's what we should be doing here today, praising God. Not only for the fact that he sent his son, but his son was willing to come down here, condescend, as it says, to step out of heaven and come down here and for 33 years live on this planet. No iPhones, no TVs, no cars. He didn't have a house to live in. He didn't have a car to drive around. He even said the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests, but the Son of Man, he has nowhere to lay his head. It's time for us to get in on the glory to God in the highest heaven. In other words, God is awesome. God is mighty and God is holy. God is worthy. There is no other like him. No one above him. He is one of a kind. Three in one. Glory to God in the highest heaven and earth peace to those to whom his favor rests. This isn't exactly what we who live in a broken, chaotic world that's so full of trouble think about so often. Now, once a year it comes around, Christmas time, when we all can get together and think about Christmas, and we see stars on the top of trees that remind us that there was a star over the stable in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. We see manger scenes where Mary and Joseph and the animals were at because they had no room for them at the inn. We remember all those things, but let's remember why. The important thing about why, and listen, the favor of God that brings us peace, is nothing can touch it. I was listening to somebody in here talk about a lost credit card and lost keys and the panic that ensued and all the things that happened until he found his credit card and he found his keys and then he was at peace. But that's not the kind of peace that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the peace that you know that if you died right now, that you'd be welcome into heaven, welcome into God's arms. You'd see your family and all those that have gone before you. But let's go to Bethlehem for a minute and see the things that happened, which the Lord has told us all about. God sent those angels down to talk to those shepherds and said, "Hey, I want you to go over there and I want you to see exactly what I told you. See that it's true that I sent my son and he is the Messiah. Let's check it out. Let's see for ourselves." Wouldn't you? I mean, if the angels just showed up at your bonfire and said, "Hey, over there, right over where that star is at, just walk over there and you'll find him. He's in a manger with his mother and father." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby that was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning what he had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They had heard the angels singing glory to God in the highest heaven. That must have been pretty amazing. Taking the walk over to the manger to see baby Jesus lying in his feeding trough, all wrapped up in clothes. Well, there was nothing that surpassed that. They got to see their Savior face to face. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Do you think these guys did their shepherding thing any differently after that night? I mean, after they started a fire, do you say, hey, how long do you think it's going to be before the angels show up? You know? What led this new life of glorifying and praising God and being consumed with spreading the word about Him? The fact that the angels showed up? The fact that they sang a song about God? That they told them where baby Jesus could be found? Because they not only heard the good news that day, they had seen the good news that day. And they'd seen it with their own two eyes. Some people say, no, I don't believe it unless I see it with my own two eyes. Well, that day they did. You see, it's not simply enough to hear God's truth. We have to figuratively make the trip to Bethlehem ourselves. And understand not only what Jesus sacrificed coming to the earth that way, but the trip to Bethlehem ourselves is putting ourselves and walking a mile in their shoes and understanding what they went through. And hey, if you're glorifying and praising God and spreading the word about Him, maybe it's time that we made that trip to Bethlehem again. You know what tradition in my family is, before any presents are opened, we read the Christmas story. We always read the Christmas story before any presents get opened. Then we have breakfast, and then we are allowed to open presents. It's always been, even my parents started it, and they didn't even go to church. But we need to celebrate some stuff. Today's Christmas, 2023. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Over the next 24 or 36 hours, as Christmas comes and Christmas goes, we need to treasure the things that come into our lives this Christmas and the things that have come into our lives in Christmas past. Things that have changed us and molded us and shaped us into the people that we are. And let's celebrate because a Savior has been born to us, for us. He is Christ the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I say this Christmas, let's sing with the angels. Let's share Him like the shepherds shared Him. You see, it's one thing to read something in a book. It's another thing to participate in yourself. So I invite you tonight when we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service, we're going to be reading scripture about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and everything that happened, and we are going to be singing songs, Christmas songs. And I'm so thankful for Pat and that song that she sang for us. But hey, today's Christmas 2023. That doesn't matter what presents are underneath your tree. It doesn't matter, how much money you spend on Christmas. What really matters is that on this year, 2023 years ago, God sent His Son down here for us, for you, and for me. Why did He send His Son? So we could have peace with God. We weren't at peace with God before, but now we can have peace with God. Now we can walk into the throne room of God and we can lay our petitions and our requests at Christ's feet. And He's our high priest and He's the one that can intercede for us. I don't know what your Christmas is going to be like today, tomorrow, next year and the year after that. But this year I want to impress on you, and hopefully next Sunday with our Gideon song, when he realized that Jesus had just came into the temple and he was there and he got to hold the baby Jesus. And what did he say? I can die now. I'm good to go. I've seen it all. Well, have you encountered Jesus? Because all the church services in the world aren't going to do you any good if you haven't seen Jesus. If you haven't met Jesus face to face, and if you haven't said, Lord, glory to God. Thank you that He sent His Son down here on Christmas, 2,000 plus years ago, so that He can live a life as a human being and go to a cross and die for us so that we can have eternal life. The best Christmas present that you could ever give yourself or anyone else is the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know who He is, and He's not your Savior, today is the perfect day to do it. Because there's no better Christmas present in the world than having Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your life will never be the same, ever, ever again. This world, as I heard it in Sunday school, is going to hell in a handbasket. Okay? And we talked about some of those things where no, things aren't good. Things aren't good in our schools. Things aren't good here. Things aren't good over there. They're killing people over here. They're doing stuff over there. And it seems like the world is getting worse and worse and worse. And we say, Lord, when are you going to come back? Well, He already came. He already came once, so that we could be saved. The second time He's coming back, so that He can take us home. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I may be, you may be also. We are the bride of Christ. We are God's precious church. And you look around and you see the people around you. Remember, God came down here for them too. He came to the least of these. He came for them too. So don't ever write anybody off. It's never too late for anybody. So as I call John up, we're going to sing another song. I'm going to pray.